Is the social network dead? It once promised connection and clarity. We got connection, but clarity never quite arrived. Don't be evil sounded like a motto for a new era. Today it reads like a warning label. Social life online is shifting from one big feed to many smaller rooms with doors and posted methods. This episode looks at how that shift works and why pre-bunking may be the habit that keeps those doors open to ideas and to accountability. We will trace what changes in health, education, and work. I will explain pre-bunking in plain terms and show how countermeasure networks, smaller and more intentional rooms, are starting to carry the weight of our public lives. Let's get oriented. The social web began as a research network. People shared facts with peers and checked each other's work. Then the model was commercialized and scaled. We entered the age of the giant feed, one plaza where everyone spoke at once, built on the belief that more connection would yield more clarity. It did not. Attention became cheap. Trust grew fragile. Now we are shifting again, less by design than by necessity. The narrative code is changing. By narrative code, I mean the shared story that tells us what counts as real and trustworthy, how we coordinate, and who we listen to. That code is being rewritten in real time. Think of it this way: we are moving from one public square to many smaller rooms, from scale first to proof first, and from chasing rumors after they spread to pre-bunking, which prepares people before the smoke even starts. Pre-bunking is straightforward. Name the tactic that is likely to appear calmly and specifically. Show how to verify or challenge the claim up front. Make the method repeatable and open to audit. This is a deeper cultural pivot. You can see it in clinics, classrooms, and at work, where most of us spend our waking hours. Let's start with health, where the shift is both messy and necessary. The tension in health is hard to miss. When national guidance swings and conspiracies outrun corrections, local clinicians and health workers carry the burden. It feels like policy whiplash. During the pandemic, recommendations shifted quickly. Messages were lost in translation or worse, bent into distortion. Here is what is happening. When national signals wobble, states and regions build their own assurance networks. Local public health teams assemble trust meshes with pre-bunking playbooks, short and approachable scripts that trusted messengers can share in their communities. In their words, pre-bunking works to limit misinformation before it can spread. The messages stay small, specific, and, when needed, multilingual. Picture this. A community clinic posts updated vaccine guidance on its Mastodon server. It includes a one-minute explainer on common vaccine rumors and a link to plain language summaries of the trial data. A nearby mutual aid group mirrors the post in Spanish and Vietnamese. Comments are open, but because the space is local, people are accountable. The usual anonymous churn does not drive the conversation. The cultural code flips from ask your doctor in the abstract to show your sources as a civic norm. Crucially, California, Oregon, and Washington have formalized a Western Health Alliance that coordinated vaccine rollout when federal guidance faltered. The Public Health Communications Collaborative publishes pre-bunking toolkits that any practitioner can adopt and adapt. In this model, the job is not only to correct after the fact, it is to anticipate, inoculate, and verify before a single rumor takes hold. If health is about rumor control, education is a contest between public mission and profit motive. For years, the promise was learning at scale, global platforms, and unlimited access. The reality often drifted toward mass enrollment, expensive degrees, and outsourced marketing. The pitch was openness, the product was a funnel. Accountability is coming back. New federal rules, including the Department of Education's financial value transparency and gainful employment standards, require colleges to publish program outcomes such as graduation rates, debt-to-earnings ratios, and job placement. and they tie eligibility for aid to those results. It is a real shift. Open can no longer mean simply available. Open has to mean accountable. Put the results in public, explain the method, and let the value speak louder than the marketing. Students and workers are taking the hint. They collect verifiable credentials, which are portable, cryptographic proofs that you completed a course or an apprenticeship. They are trackable by the holder, privacy-minded, and not tied to a single platform. Picture this. A city library issues a micro-transcript that spans a co-op, two university courses, and a paramedic instructor's newsletter class. The learner shows it to an employer who verifies it directly. No middleman platform. The social graph becomes less about likes and more about linked, auditable work. The code flips here too. We move from broad, blurry openness to precise, measurable value, from massive to meaningful. Work is where the social code meets resistance. The promise was smarter matching and better collaboration. The reality for many has been algorithms moving from managing feeds to managing people, scoring and tracking behavior, often without clear consent. Monitoring became the default, not the exception. The rules are shifting, clearer boundaries are taking shape. The EU's AI Act bans emotion inference in workplaces and schools. In the UK, the data regulator ordered Serco Leisure to stop using facial recognition and fingerprint scans for timekeeping, calling the practice not fair or proportionate. In the United States, New York City now requires bias audits and candidate notices for automated hiring tools. Counter moves are gathering. Workers ask for purpose-bound data. Collect only what is needed for a clear task, nothing more. They push for sunset clauses so information expires when its job is done. Behavior tells the same story. Quiet quitting looks like pulling back when the metrics become the job. Quiet cracking goes further. People comply on the surface but fragment inside, keeping their best work off the grid. Here is a simple scene. A project lead reviews the team dashboard. An automated system flags an engineer as below target based on keystrokes and meeting presence. The lead opens the trace, sees long code reviews and client work done off VPN. She clicks Request Context and Human Review. The flag pauses. HR and the engineer get a notice. Any action now requires a written rationale tied to the record, not optimize the metric, but explain the judgment. The code at work is shifting. If you monitor me, show me how and why, and give me a way to contest it. That is how trust survives. Let's zoom out, because climate policy shows how decentralization and resilience work in practice. In early 2025, a single executive order set the United States on a path to exit the Paris Agreement again. States did not freeze. They reaffirmed targets and formed new coalitions, including the Affordable Clean Cars Coalition, to keep the transition on track. The lesson is simple. When the center wobbles or changes course, regions and cities create continuity by forming compacts that last. Instead of one policy center, you build redundancy. If a bridge shakes, build a second span. That is continuity, not separatism. The same pattern is emerging in health and education alliances. This is the cultural code. Don't just hope the center holds. Build alternatives, publish the standards, and keep doors open even when the main road is blocked. Let's lay out how pre-bunking works. It is not a buzzword. It is a practice, a kind of inoculation against misinformation. The habit has three moves. First, name the common manipulation tactic before it shows up. Second, give a short, repeatable explanation in plain language. Third, link to evidence that anyone can check. Here is how the habit lands in practice. In health, you may see claims that seasonal vaccines cause sudden harm. Here is why that tactic works, why it is misleading, and a readable summary of the trial you can scan. In education, you might hear that credential dashboards are rigged. Here is exactly how the numbers are calculated and where to see the source data. At work, you may hear that workplace monitoring is total and inevitable. Here are the real limits and how to request a review. The key is simple. Pre-bunking is not an argument to win. It is a method to share. Keep the tone invitational, not adversarial. The goal is not to shut down debate. It is to keep the room honest. You may have noticed I keep returning to smaller rooms with posted methods and doors that can open. Let's talk technology briefly with no jargon. ActivityPub is a simple rule set that lets posts move between different services, so you are not locked into one platform. You can follow and be followed across apps. The relationship sits between people, not a single company. Matrix follows the same spirit, but for group messaging. Think secure, open rooms that anyone can run. The French civil service uses CHAP. Germany's armed forces use BW Messenger. The point is sovereignty. Institutions keep their keys, and they can still open their doors to collaborate. Why do standards like these matter? Because platforms come and go, protocols last. The rule of thumb is simple: keep your keys, open your doors. Public life works best in rooms that publish their playbooks, not in platforms that hoard the rules. I do not want to romanticize this shift. Smaller, federated rooms carry real risks. First is balkanization. Resources vary, and some communities get left out. Entire neighborhoods can miss timely health messages. Second is the discovery desert. Interoperability helps only if people can find and curate what is posted. Without search and trusted guides, it is easy to get lost or miss what matters. Finally, governance drift. When local or subnational fixes work well, they can reduce the urgency to repair national institutions. The answer is not to force everyone back into one feed. The better cure is shared standards, posted methods, and transparent bridges between rooms so knowledge can travel safely and reliably. To keep ourselves honest, we should measure the risks. In health, look for coverage gaps, the neighborhoods that messages never reach. In education, track how long credential verification takes. At work, watch grievance rates where monitoring is heavy. These numbers tell us whether smaller rooms are serving people or shutting them out. The test is simple and powerful. If a claim touches your body, your job, or your vote, you should be able to trace it to a process and a record you trust. No hand waving, no black boxes. Public dashboards exist in each of these domains. If you are curious, check the episode notes for links to explore and see how your region compares. The next internet is not about where everyone posts. It is about which networks and which rooms can show their work openly and repeatably. If you take one thing with you, make it this. Ask for the method behind a claim, not just the conclusion. Share a pre-bunk before a debate. Join a local mesh that publishes its playbook and standards. If the first social era gave us connection, this one needs to give us comprehension. That is where we will go next. Until then, keep your keys, open your doors, and keep asking, how do we know? Thanks for tuning in.